You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
I'll take the rapists for 200.
That's therapists.
And now, broadcasting live from the Elevation 5280 Sports Studios in Denver, Colorado, this is Crossing the Line with Jesse Rosales and Keith Richards.
I appreciate you put the middle name in there just so it's not Keith Richards.
Well, I didn't ever want to think that I was way more popular than I am, and I had the actual Keith Richards on here. So
I mean, I hope I'm better than Keith Richards in his old age. And
yeah, I'm kind of surprised he's not dead, so I definitely think you'll
Tiger
be a better,
blood, man. That Tiger blood.
You'll be a better co-host than him for sure.
Jesse and Keith are on.
All right, hello and welcome to another edition of Crossing the Line on Elevation 5280sports.com and Last Word on sports.com. I am Jesse Rosales, joined here by Keith Anthony Richards. Keith, what's up?
Not much. What a week in sports.
Yikes, man. I'm exhausted from last night, all those great games, and just what happened last Sunday in the NFL. It's just nuts right now. There's so much going on. You got the start of the NBA and the NHL coming up. NFL's in full swing, obviously. The MLB is concluding its season. So much going on. It's just nuts.
Yeah, fall is here, which is the best time in sports. That is for sure.
It is. What's going on in life?
Not too much. Kid turns 3 today.
Nice. So, happy birthday to Samar.
Yeah. Teenager for sure. But
no
you
doubt.
Know,
I hear you there.
Having a party for tomorrow, which is an excuse to get some chicken. So it'll be a good weekend.
Nice. Very good. Very good. That's nothing else crazy going on. I think may try to tackle getting the boy potty trained this weekend.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Might just have to lock him up and let him do his thing until he figures it out. But we'll see. What's funny is we just got a new puppy, right? And the puppy was potty trained like instantly.
Yeah.
So there's now a puppy that was potty trained quicker than my 3-year-old. And
just shame him. Like, the puppy's potty trained, son. He's been here for 2 days.
Yeah. Literally, that's what it was. The puppy is 10 weeks old. Like, he made you look bad, dude. So, gotta try to figure that out. That's hashtag parenting problems. In the world of sports, Keith, interesting game last night to conclude the NLDS with the Dodgers and the Nationals.
Oh, man. Everything about that game had disaster written all over it. I mean, they leave Jensen in for probably 2 batters too long.
At least one for sure.
He got the one out, but then they walked Bryce Harper onto the base. And then they walked Jason Wirth on the base, which left Daniel Murphy, who they brought Clayton Kershaw in for. Oh, it just happens that the last time Daniel Murphy faced Clayton Kershaw, or one of the last times, he hit a homer off of him. Last year in the LDS.
And everyone knows about Clayton Kershaw's playoff problems.
Yeah, they just kept bringing up all these statistics that was like, oh, this is not going to end well. This is not going to end well. And they pulled it off, surprisingly.
Surprisingly. Kershaw did pitch really well in his one batter that he, or his 2 batters that he faced. So that was good to see. Good to see him maybe get the monkey off his back. But guess what the reward is for winning that series, Keith?
You get to go play the best team in baseball. Good job.
So this will be very interesting to see how it plays out on the NL side.
Yeah, so the Cubs won their series, beating the Giants 3-1. So
it was a little surprising that it was that. I mean, I think a lot of people weren't surprised that the Cubs won the series, but in the fashion that they did, there were some dicey moments in that series.
Yeah, I mean, they won 3-1, but it's not like they just wiped the floor with the Giants, really. There's the one game they beat them 1-0, then they beat them, I think it was 5-3, and then the last game they won by one run, and then the Giants won by a run. So it was a highly contested series, considering how great the Cubs are supposed to be. So you can look at it in a sense that they keep finding ways to win, or you could also look at it in a sense that the wheels are going to come off unless they start figuring out how to not be in these close games.
Yep. What about the ALDS side?
So both of those finished up sweeps in both ends, actually. So the Blue Jays swept the Rangers, and then the Indians swept the Red Sox.
Which is really the way it should be on both sides. Yeah. I mean, I think those are definitely the two best teams on the AL side.
Definitely. Everyone was really excited for the Blue Jays-Rangers series, and it turned out not to be as great as everyone thought it would be. For sure, Josh Donaldson is doing work in the playoffs. Batting average of 500, OPS 1.304. He's crushing it right now. But I think the sad part is it was Big Poppy's last game,
and not because of the loss, but for Big Poppy. I mean, what a career, what a player.
I mean,
Hall of Famer for sure, no doubt.
Hall of Famer for sure, and you can make the argument that he is the greatest designated hitter of all time.
Sure.
His career stats, he has a .286 career batting average, 2,472 hits, 541 home runs, and 1,768 RBIs. Which, you know, for most players, you wouldn't consider that great, but for the position that he played, it's hard to argue that he is one of the greatest designated hitters of all time. And I mean, personally, I don't think he should be unanimous, but I think he should at least be first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he will be. I think he will be. So Indians win that series, Keith. You know, I think the Indians look really good. I think they're a better team than the Blue Jays. I think they could make it definitely to the World Series. It wouldn't surprise me. I think the city of Cleveland might, like, just
explode
on itself.
Can you imagine that World Series? You potentially have the Cubs who haven't won a World Series in over 100 years.
Oh, man.
The city of Cleveland, who's just coming off winning their first championship in over 60 years. So you have the potential of the Cubs breaking the curse, winning their first championship in over 100 years, or the city of Cleveland winning its second championship in a year after it being 60 years since they won. Either way, that's great sports. Like, that's what you want to see in sports.
Like, sometimes, Keith, sometimes we're spoiled as sports fans.
Yeah.
Sometimes we really are. Let's hope that we can be spoiled and get that as a World Series. I think that'd be great. The Cubs looked really good. Like you mentioned, beating the Giants. Do you think they're going to struggle at all with the Dodgers?
And we always talk about, like, on paper they shouldn't, and on paper they shouldn't.
If they lose the series, does that go towards the curse of the Cubs?
It definitely goes towards the curse of the Cubs. The one thing playing against them is the Dodgers in the LDS won the two starts by Clayton Kershaw. It wasn't like he pitched amazing, but they're at least winning his starts.
Yep.
So if he gets into a groove and finally finds his niche in a postseason that he has in a regular season, they are for sure going to pitch him at least twice in the LDS or in the LCS. And if it comes down to a game 7, he's going to get a relief appearance for sure. So if they're going to beat the Dodgers, they need to do it early.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's the stage for the ALCS and the NLCS. So we'll wait and see how those all play out, but should be some good matches there. But yeah, I think everybody's hoping for a Indians Cubs World Series. Moving on to golf, Keith. Dustin Johnson announced as the PGA Tour Player of the Year, so that was nice to see.
Yeah, which, you know, it's hard to argue against that.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think Jordan Spieth or Jason Day would be better golfers, but if you're looking at just a single season, I think he by far had the best season.
Yep. Rory wins the FedEx Cup, which I was really surprised by. Like, I started trying to break down the numbers, and I couldn't make much sense of it. So he had less wins than DJ. He had less top tens than DJ. He made less cuts than DJ. He earned less money than DJ. And he played in less events than DJ. How does that amount to him winning the FedEx Cup over DJ?
It's those final four tournaments.
I know, like, but that's wrong. That's wrong.
The emphasis is so unbalanced in those those final four tournaments. Like, yeah, it should mean something.
Yes.
But it shouldn't be so skewed that you win two of those four and you win it all, because that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
The FedEx Cup is supposed to be a year-end award, or, you know, championship, if you will. How can you make it so that the thing that really only counts is the last few weeks? That's crazy. If you look at any of the stats from this year, Dustin Johnson, he obviously won the Player of the Year award. He deserved to win the FedEx Cup.
Yeah. They're talking about it, in that two-week stretch, Rory McIlroy won $13 million because he won the two tournaments. That was a combined $3 million.
And then the FedEx Cup. And then
the FedEx Cup, which is $10
million. Right.
It was like $13 million for 2 weeks of work. Like, that's ridiculous.
And that defeats the purpose of a year-round championship. So, I don't know. Moving on to the NHL, Keith. The big story was Austin Matthews from the Toronto Maple Leafs. His first three shots were three goals, and then he added a fourth later in the game. The problem was, Keith, those four goals were the only goals that his team scored, and he didn't get any help from a terrible Maple Leafs team that just is not ready.
I felt bad for him. It's like, first shot, first goal, like, oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Second shot, second goal, like, that's pretty awesome. Like, third shot, third goal.
Like, am I dreaming?
Now he's just showing off. And then, like, the fourth goal, like, okay, this is getting stupid.
Yep.
And his team couldn't give him one goal support, just one.
Or couldn't even stop goals.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing. They had no defense. Goaltending was terrible. It was really sad to see them not be able to get the win for him. What was somewhat encouraging is in the post-game conference, he actually took responsibility for the loss.
Yeah, which never happens.
I mean, one, it never happens. Two, it's completely, like, ridiculous, because without him, they would have lost 5-0.
Yeah, can you imagine Ovechkin taking credit for a loss?
Yeah.
That's not happening.
No, so I really like this kid's his attitude and the way he carries himself. I think he's going to be a really good leader. I think he's going to be a great player. I just hope that the Maple Leafs can build around him, because I think he's a special talent and a special kid. Not many people will do stuff like that. In the Avalanche report, Keith, tomorrow's the first game of the season. So you got new coach, you got some new players. Most of the young core returned for this season, but a lot of excitement and positive feelings around this Avalanche squad. I've seen a lot of projections from experts in the field, and a lot of them are putting the Avalanche in the playoffs as kind of the last spot. So they'll be in contention, a lot of people think, which is exciting for the Avalanche. They went 6-0 in the preseason. So I know preseason doesn't mean much, but it's the momentum that you carry into the regular season. I think that does mean something.
It does.
It means more than going into the season 0-6 from the preseason.
Let's not forget that one year the Lions went 4-0 in the preseason.
Right.
And then they lost all 16 games.
It is true. But I do think you want as many good, positive vibes going into the season as possible. And I think starting the preseason 6-0 definitely goes towards that. I don't know. We'll see. They also are getting another young player back, Mikko Ratinen, who's a 19-year-old potential star, Keith. This kid's 19 years old. He's 6'4", 209 pounds. And they drafted him 10th overall in the draft last season. Prior to last season, I should say. Very excited to see what this kid can do. He played in the AHL, which is kind of the minor league system for the NHL. And he played in the All-Star game, and he was the co-winner of the AHL Rookie of the Year Award last year. So We haven't really seen this kid play in an Avalanche jersey. He played for a couple games last season, but really limited and really more as a bench warmer because they didn't want to rush him out there, obviously. He was only 18 at that point. But another young talent to add to this really nice core that they got here with Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog. And this year, Keith, we're going to get you knowing a little bit more about the Avalanche.
I mean, maybe it'll be a special year. I mean, they got rid of Patrick Roy, which doesn't seem like that was working out. So,
hey, if it's not working, it's not working, right?
I mean, it could have been more upper management, but it could have been also that the players aren't responding to him.
Just don't know.
So if you have the same talent, essentially, and a coach that players respond to more, who knows what could happen.
Yep. So Avalanche start their season against the Dallas Stars. We'll talk about them and how they look starting next week, but really excited to follow the Avalanche through the season and hope for some better results than what we've gotten the last couple seasons. Keith, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll hit the NFL recaps, talk about the Broncos and the nightmare that is their offensive line, and kind of recap the game from last night as well, which was not a great game.
Not for the offensive line, for sure. Atrocious.
Yeah. So we'll get to all that on the other side of the break. You're listening to Crossing the Line on Elevation 52sports.com and Last Word at sports.com. All right, we're back on Elevation 52esports.com and Last Word on sports.com. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith. Keith, time to dive into a little football recap. What happened last week?
There was. I mean, so far it's been a great season, I got to say. I mean, I guess not so good if you're a fan of certain teams, but overall, if you're a fan of the game, I think it's been a good season. Looking at our on-tap rewind, the games we talked about, what's on tap last week, the Cowboys and their rookies passed their first true test, and they
sure did
pretty convincingly defeat the Bengals 28-14, and that score really isn't reflective of how dominant the Cowboys looked in that game.
That was an interesting game because I really thought the Bengals would play a lot better. Who knew that the Cowboys had a little bit of defensive talent on their team?
Yeah, I know the Bengals' offensive line hasn't been great, but the Cowboys' pass rush is even worse. And they got, I think, 4 sacks on Andy Dalton, got pressure on him all day long. The biggest surprise to me on defense is Mo Claiborne. Like, no one's been harder on him in the past than I have. But game, he's looked great so far this season.
Yeah, knock on wood there. Hopefully that continues.
Yeah,
a lot of talk, Keith, on whether or not Dak Prescott or Tony Romo is going to take over the starting job. We'll dive into that a little bit more later, but Dak Prescott looks really good so far.
He does. He had his third straight game over 70% passing. Did commit his first turnover on a fumble, but he still hasn't thrown an interception after 155 attempts passing the ball to start the season.
Yep.
Zeke Elliott is just ridiculous so far right now. He had 15 carries for 134 yards, which is 8.9 yards a carry, which he's gone up yards per carry every week so far. So, I mean, sometimes you have to leave well enough alone, and I don't see the reason I'm putting, again, I feel like I have to say it, why put Tony Romo in right now?
Yeah, there's no chance, or there's no reason to, but we'll definitely talk about that a little bit later. We also mentioned the Panthers and how this was kind of a must-win game for them to keep their playoffs hope alive, and it didn't work out so well.
Nope. Even the way that they lost has been indicative of how the season has gone. They lost to probably the worst kicker in the NFL right now, and the Bucks kicker, who they drafted in the second round, but that's besides the point. So they lose 17-14. Cam Newton didn't play that game from being in concussion protocol. Derek Anderson didn't look terrible. I mean, he hasn't looked any worse than what Cam has looked so far this year.
He had the two picks. That didn't look good.
But
that running game struggled outside of Artis Payne.
Running game struggled a little bit. Did they realize Kelvin Benjamin is on their team? I mean, I guess he did better than he did the game before, but like, never should Greg Olsen have more yards receiving than he has.
I mean,
or more targets, which he did as well.
Greg Olsen had a monster game. Unfortunately, that's not how you win games in the NFL anymore.
No, that's not how you win games. I mean, if you say Gronk had a monster game, Jimmy Graham had a monster game, yeah, that's how you win games with those two. But Greg Olsen is not Rob Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham. Like, you don't want him being your leading receiver on a team, especially when you have a Kelvin Benjamin on a team.
Exactly. The Tampa Bay side, the only thing I thought that was interesting from a fantasy perspective was Jacquizz Rodgers. In a negative way, Keith, he had 35 touches.
Yep.
And he amounted about 129 yards, so and no touchdowns. So, like, that's a lot of touches for not a whole lot of production. I mean, if you're in a standard scoring league, you don't get points for the reception. You know, you're looking at, what, 13 points?
Yeah.
So, 13 points. If I would have told you that a player was going to get 35 touches,
you would expect more like 25, 30 points.
Yeah, I think so. So, that was interesting. So, yeah, we had that, Keith. We also, see, the only other game that we really talked about with the Broncos, we can get into that in a sec. Any other game surprised you? I mean, obviously the big news with Tom Brady coming back. He lit up the Cleveland Browns, but again, that's the Cleveland Browns. So I don't know if anyone's really surprised by that, but you know, that was
just a couple
we expected.
A couple other things, really. The Niners are finally pulling the trigger and starting Colin Kaepernick over Blaine Gabbert.
Right.
And we're going to be doing Just Stop later in the show, but I almost made that one of my Just Stop things is
people hating on him.
Hating on Colin Kaepernick. And like I don't really want to go there like where I want to go, but you look at the criticism of people about him, why he's starting, and it has nothing to do with football, really. And yep. Even the ones that do have something to do with football, maybe they forget that he did play in a Super Bowl and the Niners went to, was it two or three straight NFC Championship games?
Yeah.
Like, he played hurt a lot of last year. He hasn't been playing because they're just saying his muscle mass is getting up to where it should be. So he clearly has a higher ceiling than Blaine Gabbert. Like, I don't understand why it's an argument that he should be playing for the team if he is fit to play.
How many teams has Blaine Gabbert taken to a Super Bowl?
Are we counting Madden?
No.
I'm still going to say zero.
So, yeah.
The other game, and maybe as a budding Broncos fan, this makes me happy, but Brock Osweiler looks horrible.
Terrible.
Like,
terrible.
Horrible. And you got to give credit where credit is due. The Vikings defense continues to look really good.
Yeah.
But there are times, especially in that game, to where it's the same thing it was when he played here in Denver. He holds onto the ball too long. He doesn't know how to read defenses.
His footwork is terrible.
He overthrows players all the time. Like, he is not worth $18 million a year. Like, it's almost like he's robbing them. I mean, good on him. He's getting the money. But they should be ashamed of themselves.
I mean, Keith, if you compare him with their game next week is with Andrew Luck and the Colts. Andrew Luck has 1,469 passing yards, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Brock has only 1,133 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, totally different quarterbacks.
And without question, Andrew Luck's offensive line is worse than what Brock Osweiler has.
Yep.
Andrew Luck has a worse running back, even though Frank Gore has been putting up better numbers. He's not as talented as Lamar Miller.
No.
Andrew Luck doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins. Andrew Luck doesn't have Will Fuller. Like, there's no reason that his numbers should be better than Brock Osweiler's, and they are.
And then if you look at the eye test, right, Brock doesn't look good.
No.
He makes terrible throws. He makes throws where people aren't even there.
Yeah. Like, there's one play to where the pocket is collapsing. He doesn't try and get out of the pocket. You know, he's supposed to be this super mobile guy for how big he is. And then he throws it. There's no one within 10 yards in either direction from his team to where he threw the ball. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. And I don't think Brock has that, like, intangibles, like the fight and the fire that you want from a quarterback. He's just kind of like a Jay Cutler. Like,
he fought for that money. That's about all he fought for.
So there's that key. Speaking of the Broncos, let's dive into the Mile High recap for last week. We'll talk about the Thursday night game from last night in a bit. But the game against Atlanta, Keith, the team didn't look very good there. Paxton Lynch's first game.
Everyone won in Paxton.
Everyone won in Paxton. You know, he's not ready.
Yep, there you go.
And we've been saying that for a long time now. And if you've been listening to us, you know that we've been on Trevor Siemian over Paxton Lynch. Not to say that Paxton Lynch won't eventually be the quarterback of the Broncos. He may be. He may not be, though. And I think people need to be prepared for that. That, you know what? Nothing is guaranteed. And how many times have we seen a high draft pick quarterback not play out well in the NFL? Would he be the first? No. If anything, it's the
exception. He wouldn't even be the first this year.
Exactly. So that guarantees nothing. So for people to think that, oh, well, it's just a matter of time before he takes over the throne that Peyton left, like, I don't think so. Like, he's got to earn that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see what you have seen run rampant in the NFL over the past 3 or 4 years is,
yep,
no matter what position outside of maybe wide receiver and running back, these kids coming out of colleges just are not ready. Like, college football is doing the NFL no favors. Yeah, the games are exciting to watch when it's like 120 to 115 on Saturday, but when it comes Sunday, they don't know how to play football.
Nope. So the defense also was the other topic there from the Atlanta game, Keith. They got torched by the Atlanta running backs. Tevin Coleman just went crazy. And then you have Devontae Freeman, who also had a good game. Their running backs just went at the linebackers for the Broncos, and they didn't have an answer for it. I mean, this was a game that Julio Jones didn't do jack in, and they dominated on the offensive side.
Yeah, said that, like, we were on talking with Mike, and we said, I said that Julio Jones is going to not have a good game because they're not going to let him go for 300 yards.
Yeah.
And they did a pretty good job handcuffing Julio Jones, but that came as a consequence because
everyone else was wide open all day long.
Middle field was wide open. The linebackers, as great as the Broncos linebackers are, they can't cover that much space when they don't have help. And they got burned all game long.
They did, no doubt about that, which kind of leads into, well, the last thing I want to talk about with that game, because it does lead into the game from last night, Keith, was the running backs for the Broncos struggled in the Atlanta game. Neither running back did much. They totaled a total of 64 yards between the two of them in the Atlanta game, and we didn't see much different last night against San Diego. I think the problem isn't so much the running backs. I think both are very talented running backs, but man, that offensive line for two games now has not looked very good.
It's terrible. And like, just moving into the game on Thursday night, a lot of people last season were saying offense didn't look good because of Peyton Manning. Well, let's put Brock in. Offense still didn't look that great with Brock in. It's like, well, we're playing this hybrid system because we have to cater to Peyton Manning. Well, you had all off season. You have the full Kubiak system. And guess what? The running game still doesn't look good because the offensive line is absolutely abysmal.
It's really bad, especially that right side of the line.
Yeah.
They get killed. You even had Virgil Green back this game, and you would think that maybe they just put some dual tight ends in there and help that offensive line a little bit. And nothing they were doing was helping.
Nothing was helping. And then you get to a point to where, I mean, the Broncos end up losing that game 21-13. I mean, maybe it's biased, but you look at the stat sheet, it's not like the Chargers played an amazing game. They only put up 21 when they should have easily put up more than 40. But you can say that Broncos defense didn't look great to start the game, and they definitely didn't. But midway through second quarter, they did what the Broncos defense do, and they held the team to 21 points when any other team easily would have gave up more than 40 points.
Yeah, I mean, the real star for San Diego was their kicker, Lambeau.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 4-for-4, so plus an extra point, but you take the field goals, you got 12 points there. I mean, that's well within the gap there for the final score.
Yeah, so, and there are even times when the Broncos were starting to drive, and you have a good run by CJ, and it wasn't even Devontae Booker at all. Every time CJ Anderson had a good run, holding penalty.
Yeah, there were, I think, I don't have the numbers in front, but I think there were like 11 or 12 penalties for like 105, 10 yards, something like that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was, you're not going to win football games like that. You're not going to, they had turnovers, they had penalties, they had terrible offensive line and scheming, they didn't have their head coach. I mean, it was a disaster, and for them to only lose by 7 points, or sorry, 8 points, is really a testament of how maybe bad the Chargers are.
I mean, a recipe for disaster for a team with a first-year starter is him throwing 50 times in one game, yeah, like Trevor Siemian did.
Yeah.
Like, Trevor Siemian, I love Trevor Siemian. He has a bright future, but he in no way, shape, or form needs to be throwing 50 passes in a single game.
No.
Especially this early in his career.
No. The benefit for, or the bright side, I guess, for Trevor Siemian is he did not have a turnover. He is very smart with the ball. You saw a couple times he got rushed in the pocket.
Yeah.
And he looked around and he threw it away, or he would take the sack, or he'd run out of bounds, or whatever it was. He wasn't forcing the issue even at the very end, which I think if you're a Broncos fan, you like that, because if there's anything with Paxton Lynch, we didn't see Paxton Lynch making good decisions, and he did lead to several turnovers against Atlanta. So, and I think that's where the experience comes in. And people, again, back to the, is Paxton Lynch better than Trevor Siemian? You know, the talent side may be a little closer than what the knowledge gap is and the experience gap is.
Yeah.
The experience is definitely on Trevor Siemian's side.
And they're not helping him with the play calling either. Like, it's fine if you want to run go routes all game long with Emmanuel Sanders and DT, especially when there's not safety help over the top on one of them. But you don't have time to throw the ball that far down the field because the pocket is constantly collapsing on him. And if you are going to do it, then have him do a quick hit, throw some screens or something like that. But they weren't doing anything to help him out in that game, it seemed like.
Yep. And to just add to your point real quick, the Broncos D did play a fairly good game. Started off a little rocky again. And maybe we can talk about that later or next week perhaps. But Phillip Rivers only threw for 178 yards. Melvin Gordon was held under 100 yards. I mean, they really did a good job of holding that offense in check, given the very frequent amount of short fields that they had to deal with.
Yeah, if it wasn't for their defense, the game would have been an absolute blowout, and the Broncos wouldn't have had a chance at a Hail Mary at the end of the game.
Yeah, so I think people need to chill out on the Broncos' defense. I don't think that's a big deal. I don't think you should put anything on Trevor Siemian, necessarily. I don't think you should even put anything on C.J. Anderson or Devontae Booker. What it really comes down to is that offensive line, Keith, is the biggest problem right now for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, they have a major problem, and they need to figure out what they're going to do with that offensive line. Like, whether it's make a trade, like, get people out of the practice squad.
Bring someone out of retirement. Whatever.
They have got to do something.
Yep. All right, Keith, let's take our next break. When we come back, we'll talk about one of our favorite segments, Just Stop. And we'll cover a couple different categories from that area. So great, we'll do that on the rest of the break. All right, we are back on Elevation, 5280sports.com, and last word on sports.com. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith. Keith, one of our favorite segments here, Just Stop.
Yeah, we're rolling three deep this week, because there is a lot
just
to tell people they need to stop. Like, it's bad.
I'm going to go first, Keith, because this one's been bothering me. I got to get this off my chest. Tiger Woods said he was coming back to play Safeway Open, didn't come back, then he pulled out like a couple days after that, and now he's back to checking into a clinic because he's injured again and not ready to come back, and I really think it's more mental with him than it is physical at this time, but Tiger, just stop. Like, just either come back or don't. Like, you got to make up your mind, and why put the pressure on yourself to, like, come back for this specific tournament if you aren't ready? Because, like, what's it going to mean if you miss another couple, like, tournaments? No one's used to you being around anymore anyway. So you might as well just make yourself right, and when you come back, commit to it. But now you're turning into, like, Brett Favre, and it's like, you know, I don't know what you're going to do anymore. It's just, like, either come back, and if you come back, we'll welcome you with open arms. The whole golfing community will. There's no doubt about it. But until you're ready, just stop and just let it go.
Yeah, at this point, like, either you're done or you need to play.
Yeah.
And
yeah. He's just embarrassing himself.
I don't think he's going to play again, so he just needs to say he's done at this point.
Which is fine. Which is fine. Like, at this point, if you're done, just say you're done, and let's move on, and then we can decide what your legacy is after that. But until then, we have to keep wondering what's going to happen. Is he going to come back? And then people start talking about, is he going to win majors and all this stuff again? It just needs to stop. I'm really getting tired of it, which is sad because I'm a pretty big Tiger Woods fan, but this can't continue.
I think part of the problem is people, even though he's not a tenth of what he used to be in his prime, still expect that he will win majors. Like, even him coming back for his first tournament.
I know.
And I mean, maybe if he came back and he played two or three tournaments, maybe he could have a shot at a major. But it's not happening right off the bat. And I think he wants, because he is a perfectionist, to meet those expectations. And he's not going to meet those expectations, at least not right away.
Yep.
So he needs to get something under his belt if he wants to be competitive. But he doesn't have any tournaments under his belt.
Nope. So that's my first just stop. Keith, what do you got for yours?
Look, I'm tired of this after 1 week already. The hero worship of Tom Brady, it just needs to stop. I can't put up with it anymore. Like, I mean, we already talked about it. Everyone talks about how he's going to be angry when he comes back. First of all, how much more angry could he be after he got caught cheating? I don't want to hear that.
He got caught cheating last season, yeah. like 2 seasons ago. So, like,
two seasons ago. This should have been over 2 seasons ago. And he wouldn't have been suspended at all. He would have just said from the very start, yeah, I deflated the balls. $25,000 is over with. No, he wants to be Tom Brady. He thinks he's greater than the game of football, essentially. And then everyone's talked about how great he looked in his first game back. They played the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns on their, like, 12th string quarterback.
And the Cleveland Browns are probably the worst team in all of sports.
That you could very much say that. And then, like, the other thing that annoys me is people saying, oh, well, he's going to play into his mid-40s. Just stop. He's not playing into his mid-40s.
Probably
could have said that about Peyton Manning after he threw 55 touchdowns. And just like Max Kellerman says about Tom Brady, he fell off a cliff. And they're not going to see it happening with Tom Brady. Peyton looked perfectly, even after the four neck surgeries, Peyton looked fine. And then he had that hamstring injury, and that was it. So when it comes to Tom Brady and thinking he's just this Greek god of football, like, just stop. I can't deal with it anymore.
I like it. Keith, my next just stop is your boy, Mr. Jerry Jones.
That's not my boy.
I know he's not. Jerry Jones gets into this, and I think he puts himself in these situations where he gets out in front of the media and he, like, baits people to ask him questions about the team, and he tries to play a general manager and coach and all these different things. Jerry Jones, just stop. Just stop. Like, why do you have to make a comment about Tony Romo and whether or not he's going to be the starting quarterback? You don't know. You're not the GM. Yeah. You're not the coach. What say do you
really... Well, technically, he is the GM.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, what the Cowboys really need is they need a real GM. They need a coach that has a little bit more of a backbone, and they need to get Jerry Jones out of there. Now, eventually, he's getting older, where eventually he's just going to, you know, nature's going to take its course. But until then, like, Jerry Jones, just stop and just stop talking about things that you don't really have a say in. Don't put extra pressure on Tony Romo. Don't put extra pressure on Dak Prescott. Just let it go and let the coaches take control of that situation and let them do their jobs. But just needs to stop getting his nose involved and saying about things he knows nothing about.
I mean, it's clear what you've seen in the past 4 to 5 years with Stephen Jones playing a bigger role in the front office, that the team has looked a lot better. But because Jerry Jones can't let go, there's an issue where there shouldn't be an issue. Like, Tony Romo should not take another snap as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I absolutely love Tony Romo, but his time as the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is over. But he's going to start again because Jerry Jones wants to have his way. And yep. He can't shut his mouth. He can't get out of the way of the team. Like, if he was out of the way with the talent that the team has, they would have a better coach. they probably would have had a better offensive line 10 years ago. Tony Romo wouldn't be as fragile as he is now from all the beatings that he took when they didn't have an offensive line.
Yep.
So he has killed the team, and he keeps trying to kill the team.
Yep. I agree. So that's my second just stop, Keith. What do you got for your second?
My second stop, just stop is the Golden State Warriors. Like, they... I don't know how everyone else feels, but it feels like to me they know they made a stupid decision in signing Kevin Durant. And they're trying to make everyone make them feel like we should feel bad for making them feel like villains when they did it to themselves. And not only had they do it to themselves, they keep doing it to themselves. They keep talking about how they're bad guys. They keep talking about how they're going to be a great team and win all these championships. Like Andre Iguodala said, they're going to win 4 championships. Remember when LeBron James and them did that? Only difference is he didn't say it at a parade. Literally the only difference. And then the cake was the last comments Kevin Durant made. He said, as they, the Warriors, lost, talking about Game 7 in the NBA Finals, it became more and more real every day. I guess you could say I'm glad they lost. As if he is doing them a service after they won 73 games. And not only did they win 73 games, they overcame a 3-1 deficit like they lost in the finals to Kevin Durant's team.
No.
After Kevin Durant choked in Game 6 and Game 7.
Choked in a big way. He didn't even show up.
So he's trying to make it seem like he is this thing that's going to bring this team to prominence when they have the 2-time defending MVP. They have 3 players that are all NBA. They won 73 games last year. Oh, wait, they also won a championship the year before. So, really, Kevin Durant, you're the big reason why this team is going to be great now?
He attached his trailer to that truck, and there you go.
Like, at this point, you can't really defend him as much anymore. Like, I'm all for free agency and players going where they want to go. But when you go to the team that beat you after they overcome a 3-1 deficit and they won 73 games, you can't compare that to what LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh is. It's completely worse. Like, all this Warriors nonsense just needs to stop.
It needs to just stop. My last just stop, Keith, is Nick Kyrgios. He is a tennis player. You know him.
Yeah.
And anyone who knows tennis does. He is like the teenage version of Johnny Mack, like from back in the day. He throws huge fits, and recently he just won a tournament. He went to play in another tournament in Shanghai and basically didn't even play. Like, he just, like, the effort level was pathetic. Like, pathetic. Like, he was... And if you don't... it's hard to really say over the radio what it looked like, so go check it out on YouTube. But he basically just, you know, whiffed at the ball. When the other person served, he wouldn't even move. Like, just no interest in doing anything. Like, I've never actually seen that before, because athletes are usually so competitive that you'd never really see anyone just flat out give up on something like that.
Wasn't he suspended for, like, literally lack of effort?
They fined him big time.
Oh, they did?
They gave him a big fat fine. But then in the post game interview, he was asked about it, and they said, well, you know, that effort was really pathetic and blah blah, and don't you owe it to these people who paid money to come and see you? And he said, I don't owe them anything. He basically said, you pay and you come see me, and you know that I can be a little, you know, up or down. He said, so if you're coming to see me, then you should know what to expect, and I don't owe anybody anything, and that was it. And I was like, Johnny McEnroe would call you a disgrace. Like,
yeah.
That's how bad he was. And just this spoiled little tennis player who gets mad because he doesn't get his way, so he tries to just do whatever he wants instead of acting like a professional. And there's just no place for that in tennis or any sport for that matter. Part of being a professional athlete is the first part of that word or that phrase is professional.
He's not a professional whatsoever.
He's not a professional. Very amateur and a freaking disgrace. So, Nick Kyrgios, just stop. Just leave the tour. No one wants to see you anyway. You'll never live up to the expectations that everyone had for you anyway. So, just stop.
Yeah, I mean, I think at times Mike Greenberg on Mike and Mike can be a bit over the top. But I think he was 100% accurate when he said that Nick Kyrgios is the biggest jerk in all of professional sports.
He's just a jerk.
Like, there's no other way to define that or put that. He's a jerk. And it's a shame because he's talented.
Yes, he is.
There's people who aren't as talented or work harder than he do. It's like, it's such a waste of talent, and it's such a disgrace to people who actually put the work in who aren't as talented to make it to where they are. And he has all the talent in the world, and he's just thrown away because he's a jerk.
Yep, that's it. That's it. Keith, what's your last just stop?
My last just stop. People complaining about the NFL, calling it the No Fun League. You know, I kind of got it at first. I was like, yeah, they're not letting them celebrate. But if you look at the league over the past couple years, they're celebrating way too much. Like, they're down 50 points, they get a sack, and they're doing a bow and arrow or doing a coordinated handshake. When you're down 50 points, like, I don't care. Get up, get over
there.
They
celebrate after every single play.
Every single play. And you know what? The NFL is probably tired of it, and I don't blame them. I'm just like, all right, you want to keep celebrating? You asked for all this money? Let's take some of that back, because we're going to flag you. We're going to fine you. Like, enough is enough. Like, and people will always find something to complain about with the NFL, not thinking of what the NFL has to put up with. And not only do they have to put up with these players celebrating all the time, they have to put up with these idiots getting caught with a pound of weed at the airport, or driving drunk and
or beating their wives,
deflating footballs. But people constantly look at the NFL like they're the bad guy. Like, how about you be Roger Goodell? Who, first of all, really...
He's in a no-win situation.
Is in a no-win situation. He is simply a puppet because he does what the owners tell him. And I don't understand why people can't see that. Like, that's very clear, I think. And, like, lastly, he has to manage these idiots. So, just stop complaining about it and try to look at it from a different perspective. Like, these players are stupid. And he has a very hard job trying to manage these stupid players.
All right, Keith, so that's a couple just stops out there. Had to get that off our chest. I feel better. Do you feel better?
Absolutely.
All right,
great. We'll be back next week, I'm sure.
Just stop will be a long-running segment, I think. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our way too early predictions for the NBA season, Keith, as that's about to kick off. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith on Elevation at 52dsports.com and Last Word on sports.com. We'll be right back. We are back on Elevation, 52asports.com and Last Word on sports.com. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith. Just to remind everybody, you can catch us on Twitter at 5280Keith, at 5280Jesse, and we will be live tweeting during the show. Keith, let's get into our way too early predictions for the NBA playoffs, or for the NBA playoffs for this upcoming NBA season. Although, I don't think these are going to be too far off. I mean, some of these are pretty obvious, I think. So, Let's go conference by conference, and then we'll make our predictions for the finals and go down that path. So right. Why don't you start with the Western Conference? So
we'll start with the Western Conference. Last season you had making the playoffs, Golden State Warriors, San Antonio Spurs, the Thunder, the Clippers, the Trailblazers, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, and the Rockets. I don't think that's going to change a whole lot this season. So not trying to go in order. I picked the top seed, which I think is going to be the Warriors, probably by a long shot. Then following them in any order, I got the Spurs, the Thunder, the Jazz, the Clippers, the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves, and the Rockets, all making the playoffs.
Yeah. Interesting slate there, Keith. I basically went the same way. Trying to see, I think there was a difference there. Did you say you have the Jazz?
I do have the Jazz.
Yeah, I think the Jazz are a good one. Surprisingly, I thought I was going to be a little bit on an island picking the Timberwolves, Keith, but I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be legit.
They had the talent last year. The talent is only going to get better, and they have arguably one of the greatest coaches in the NBA right now. I mean, he was out of coaching last year, but that wasn't his fault.
No.
He knows how to coach teams. He knows how to coach defense, and I mean, I think they're. At least be the 8th seed. I wouldn't be surprised if they're as high as a 6th seed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be either. You got Karl-Anthony Towns there. I believe he won Rookie of the Year last year. So he's there. You got Andrew Wiggins, obviously, who I think is just going to get better and better. A lot of good talent there, a lot of young talent. I don't think they're going to be in contention for the conference championship this year, but I do think that they have a good core to build around going forward. Keith, what's your take on... I had a hard time with the Houston Rockets because I didn't want to put them in there. I'm not sure they deserve to be in there, but at the same time, I think they will be. What's your take on Houston this year?
I think they will be. I think they're going to be higher than the 8th seed that they were last year.
Yeah,
because the team cancer is gone and Dwight Howard.
That's true.
That's not saying Dwight Howard is a terrible player, but he was a terrible player for that system. So I think they will be a better team. They're definitely not going to be contending for an NBA title, but they'll definitely be in a playoffs, I think.
Yeah. To give you my order, Keith, I basically went the same way you did. Golden State, San Antonio, OKC, the Clippers, the Rockets, the Jazz, the Timberwolves. And then I kind of struggled with my last one. I'm still struggling with it a little bit. I want to say it's either Memphis or Portland, but I'm not sure which direction I want to go. I feel like Memphis is a better team than Portland, but Damian Lillard's pretty dang good.
He is. He helped carry that team to the playoffs last year. They were, I think, the 4th seed or the 5th seed, something along those lines. I didn't have them making the playoffs this year because I don't think they're going to surprise anyone this year.
Yeah.
Like, they caught a lot of people by surprise last year.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case this year.
Well, looking at their roster, I'm not sure that there's a whole lot else outside of Damian Lillard.
I mean, you have CJ McCollum. He's good. You have some promising people in other positions, but that's all they are
right
now is promising. Until they are bona fide good players, then...
Whereas with the Grizzlies, you have some bona fide stars.
You do have bona fide stars. And the thing with the Grizzlies last year, they started kind of at the top of the Western Conference, and they worked their way to the 7th seed because they were absolutely decimated by injury last season. So the fact that they even made the playoffs of what they were putting out there was amazing. I don't think they're going to have as many injuries as they did this season as they did last, so you expect them, I think, back in the top 5 in the conference.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. They're the ones that I was leaning with for my last spot in the Western Conference, so I will stick with that direction. Let's move over to the Eastern Conference. Keith, why don't you break down that conference?
So last season in the playoffs, you had the Cavaliers, who were the eventual NBA champions, Toronto Raptors, Miami Heat, Atlanta, Boston, Charlotte, Indiana, and Detroit. So the top seed I have Cleveland. I mean, really, who else are you going to put there in the East? And then in any order following them, I have Toronto, Atlanta, Boston, Charlotte, Indiana, Detroit, and the Bulls. So not a whole lot changing there outside of, I don't think Miami's making the playoffs this year. They might be contending for a lottery pick this year, actually.
I took Miami out, and I went a little different direction with Detroit. I'm not sold on Detroit, and I think that the Knicks have potential to make the 8th spot just because the Eastern Conference is so terrible that they obviously have talent enough to make that 8th seed because the 8th team in the East may have a losing record. I mean, it's possible.
It could be. They actually, the 8th seed was 2 games better than the 8th seed with the Western Conference last year.
That's fair. That's fair.
The reason I didn't put the Knicks in the playoffs is because they have the NBA's all-injury team.
I know. Yeah. I know. It scares me, but I'm...
Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, Joakim Noah, Porzingis isn't the excellent bill of health. Like, 2010, yeah, they have an amazing team, but it's 2016. Like, I don't know if they'll be helped. I don't even know if they'll make it out of the preseason without having a major injury. They've done it so far, but there's still a couple more games to go.
Yeah, I looked at the, you know, when I was going through these, I went through the Detroit roster and I went through the New York Knicks roster, and I just felt better about the New York roster than I do the Pistons. I'm not sure. I mean, they obviously have a lot of talent, but I think it's a lot of like mid-level talent. And I mean, if it is a big if, I'll give you that. If the Knicks are healthy at the end of the year, and it comes down to the Detroit Pistons and the Knicks. The Knicks have more firepower by a long shot, I think, over the Pistons.
They do. I just have zero confidence of them being healthy at the end of the season. If they are, for sure, they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But
that's a big if.
That's a big if.
It is a big if. All right, Keith. So that's that. What did you do for the finals breakdown?
So for the finals, I think for the first time in NBA history, you're going to have teams squaring off for the third time in a row in the NBA finals. And I got the Cavs in six over the Warriors. A lot of people, including Vegas, are tempted to say that the Warriors are the favorites. For sure, they have the best starting five in the NBA. You can't argue that, even if they don't have a center.
that center is what killed them last year.
And exactly why. And then what helped them last year as well is they had a deep bench. They had to get rid of a lot of their good bench players to get Kevin Durant, whereas where Cleveland hurt last year was their bench, and they boosted their bench. So they have probably, arguably, the best going into the season, the best 10-man rotation in the league. So you have LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. Then coming off the bench, you're probably going to have Iman Shumpert, Shannon Fry, Mike Dunleavy, Richard Jefferson, Birdman, and then there's someone else I can't remember that's going to be coming off the bench as well. But that's just their first 10. And then you still have Kay Felder, the rookie that they drafted.
Yes,
that looks good.
Yes, he does look great.
Jordan McRae is looking a lot better in the preseason so far. Like, their team, top to bottom, may be the most complete team that you have in the NBA going into the season.
Yeah. There's no doubt there. I mean, first of all, I mean, is there any question that, health aside, that the Warriors and the Cavs are going to collide in the finals?
I only say it's a question because health is a big thing in the NBA.
It is.
And the Warriors aren't immune to having a clean bill of health either. Steph Curry, even though he didn't get hurt as much last season, was injury prone his first couple seasons. Kevin Durant has missed a lot of time in over the past three seasons with health concerns. So they could very well be not healthy when it comes to that time. Then you have the concern with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love with the Cavaliers. LeBron James is going to be there. The man doesn't get hurt.
Knock on wood there.
So assuming they are healthy, it is going to be the Cavs and the Warriors. But I think that's a big assumption to make. It still adds intrigue because you never know what's going
to
happen. For sure.
I would love to see the Warriors and the Thunder in the conference final. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I would love to see that. And I would love to see the Thunder beat the Warriors in the conference finals.
Oh,
that
man.
Would make my year.
That would make a couple years. That I can't think of very many stories that would be better than that, than to see freaking Westbrook's face looking at Durant as he walks off the court after
like
winning
KD
the series.
KD talking about how selfish. Warriors are and how they play basketball correctly there. And they asked Russell Westbrook about it. He said, that's cute.
Yeah. Yep. You can just see it on his face. He wants that game very
like
badly.
Even better, I hope that the Thunder make it in as the 8th seed and play the Warriors and knock them out in the first round. That would be amazing.
Yep. I'm going with the Cavs in 7, Keith. I think that they're still the better team. They got the better depth. And starting 5 only gets you so far. How often does your starting 5 really play the same minutes? It doesn't happen very often.
They don't in the season, for sure.
Oh, sure, in the playoffs. But
in the playoffs, you do kind of go down to like an 8-man rotation a lot of times, especially when you make it to the finals. I think where that helps Cleveland and hurts Golden State is the Golden State bench is not going to be that great, so their starters are going to be logging a lot of minutes in the regular season. I mean, even if they do have blowouts, they're going to be logging 34, 35 minutes a game probably.
Yep.
Whereas they're going to even go even further into resting LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love with the Cavs. So it's going to be even worse than it was last postseason where they were super fresh in the playoffs and blowing through everyone.
Well, yeah,
but they might make it to the finals this year without having a loss in the playoffs.
Yeah, and get as much rest as you can for those guys. All right, Keith, I think that's good for that. So we're both taking the Cavs and obviously going with Cavs and Warriors for the finals there. I don't think that's a huge shock, and I'd be very surprised if people had many different picks for that. So let's take a next break. When we come back, we'll get into a new segment, Keith. Faux show or nah, brah?
Yeah, excited for this one.
All right, sounds good. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get to that on the other side. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith on Elevation5280Sports.com and Last Word on Sports. We're back on Elevation5280Sports.com and Last Word on Sports.com. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith. Keith, time for a new segment here that we're we try to go down that path of true or false, but maybe a little more creative, a little more hood.
Yeah, we can't make it so boring as true or false.
That's yeah.
For sure or nah, bro.
A lot of people do true or false. We ain't got time for that.
Nope. So, we're gonna cross the line this one up.
The ethnic line. All right, so our first topic, Keith, is are the Broncos no longer a Super Bowl contender? So obviously a rough game last night, and then the really rough game the week prior to the Atlanta Falcons. The defense, it hasn't been as aggressive as it normally is. They haven't gotten many turnovers in the last couple games. And, they're not playing terrible. I mean, they're not allowing a ton of points, except from the Atlanta game, but it doesn't look like the same defense. The offense has definitely struggled, obviously, with both Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. The offensive line looks terrible. Is this a faux show or a nah, bruh, that the Broncos are no longer Super Bowl contenders?
I'm going to say nah, bruh, in the sense that they are still Super Bowl contenders.
Right, right.
On the condition that Gary Kubiak gives up this notion that he can run the same offense that they won two Super Bowls with that offensive line. Like, it's not working. A lot of people wanted to blame Peyton Manning last season for the running game being bad and saying it's because they just weren't lining up and running the ball. Well, they are lining up and running the ball, and they suck at it.
The offensive line may be one of the worst in the NFL, and it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It didn't matter last year who the quarterback was. When Peyton was out there, he didn't look great. Brock obviously didn't look great, and we've seen flashes this season of Trevor Siemian looking good. But for the most part, I think people are starting to look at the tape on this offensive line and figuring out how to expose it, which is a big problem for the Broncos to figure out. As far as the question goes, I'm definitely on the nah, bruh side as well, because I don't think that this means that they're no longer Super Bowl contenders. Every team that wins a Super Bowl goes through struggles. I mean, how many people were saying last season that the Broncos weren't going to win the Super Bowl? And then all of a sudden,
people were saying last season that before the season started, they weren't even going to make the playoffs.
It's crazy. So, like, if you look at where – I remember I was at a Bronco game last year. It was the Oakland Raiders. They beat up that was the game where Khalil Mack went like ape crazy and just destroyed everything in his path. You remember that game?
Yeah.
He had like five sacks
that game.
Yeah, just crazy. And so I was at that game, and people, as we're leaving the stadium, were like, this is over, season's over, no chance, another wasted season and all that of not being a true contender. And turned it around, got on the hot streak, Keith, and ended up winning the Super Bowl pretty dang convincingly.
They did.
So to say that after, 5-6 weeks that they're out of it is crazy. Anything can happen still. They still got a lot of talent. The defensive personnel hasn't changed. I think the scheme is mostly the problem, and I think they can figure that out. So I'm going to say it's a nah, brah. The Broncos are still Super Bowl contenders.
All right, let's move on to the second one. Second one being the Falcons are now Super Bowl contenders. So currently they do, so front one of the best offenses in the NFL. Their defense has picked it up the past couple weeks. But for me, I have to go Nabra. They're not Super Bowl contenders. They do have a winning record right now. They're probably going to make it to the playoffs virtue of the their division is not very good, because they are for sure going to come back to the pack. But them coming back to the pack means the pack that they're coming back to in their division is terrible. So even if they go the rest of the season and end up being 10-6, 9-7, that's more than enough to win that division. But I just can't say that even though the defense has looked good the past couple weeks, that you can trust that defense in the long haul. Because those first two or three games still happened where their defense looked absolutely terrible. And then, whether people want to admit or not, Matty Ice is still their quarterback. He looks great now, but he looks terrible at the end of the season in playoff time.
Yep.
So I don't think they can do it.
I struggled with this one. I went back and forth, Keith. I'm going to go with for show on this one, and only because the competition in the NFC, outside of maybe the Vikings, is all about the same level. I mean, I really think that the Vikings are on their own tier, and I think that everybody else is right there on the second level, outside of the really, really bad teams, obviously. But in that next level, Keith, I think you got teams like Seattle, teams like the Packers, teams like the Cowboys, teams like, you know, any of those teams that most people would consider really good teams out of these. I think they're just on a different tier than where the Vikings are. However, the Vikings, I'm not buying their offense. I mean, I'm sorry, but I got to see it for more than a couple games out of that offense to be convinced. They don't have AP. Stephen Diggs has been injured. And I'm just not sure that they have all the pieces in place to really make a run. I mean, we've seen teams in the past win Super Bowls without great offenses, so I know they don't need that. But at the same time, Atlanta has one of the best offenses, and they got freaking Julio Jones.
They do, and Julio Jones, as we know, can go off for 300 yards in one game. Matt Ryan scares me. I mean, he scares me more than that defense does. He has shown in past seasons that he will look great this time of year. Like, there's no questioning or denying that. But I would have to see how he looks games 12 through 16 before saying that they are Super Bowl contenders. Because if he doesn't collapse in those time frames, then I think they will be Super Bowl contenders. But he has to prove that first.
I think a lot is coming up here. So they got the Seattle Seahawks their next game this weekend, Keith. That's a big game.
Yes.
It's a big game because I would say that just look at the last three games. They went to the Panthers, they went to the Broncos, and they went to the Seahawks. Those are three of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yep.
And you've put up 48 points on the Panthers. They put up 23 points on the Broncos. So if they can win against Seattle, I think those are three quality wins, and I'm definitely more comfortable at that point. The rest of their schedule is pretty easy, so I don't see where they're really going to falter. Like, even if you get towards the end of the season, you're playing teams like the Saints, the Niners, the Rams twice, the Bucks. I mean, they don't have a tough schedule. So,
they don't, but then you look at last year, they started, 8-0, I think it was, or something crazy like that?
Something like that.
And they completely just fell apart, so maybe if they get past game 8 and they still have a winning record and they win game 9, maybe. But they do have teams on a schedule towards the end of the season that look bad now, but they have a lot of time before it gets there.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just a wait and see thing.
Yeah. What do you got for the last one, Keith?
So the last one, speaking of the terrible division, is the Panthers' chances of making the playoffs are gone now. What do you think?
I got to go for show. I mean, they're done, man. I mean, Cam Newton, I think he's gone crazy. I think Cam Newton has literally lost his mind, Keith. And that's not good for that offense. He's battling concussions and injuries. And the only way they're going to keep him on the field is to is for the Panthers to take away what he is really good at, which is running the ball. And if they want him to stay on the field, they got to take away what he's the best at. So that is a huge, huge concern for the Panthers. Their running back situation hasn't been great. It looks like Jonathan Stewart probably is going to play this weekend, so maybe they get back on track there. But I don't think that – I mean, I think there was a stat that said teams that are 1-4 have like a – you know, I think they've only made the playoffs like a handful of times since the start of the NFL, so it doesn't look good there anyway. And if I have to pick a team to do that, I'm probably not picking this Panthers team to make that run. I just don't think that they're good enough. So I'm going with faux show that they're definitely missing that playoff.
That's a definite for show. They're not doing it. I mean, I don't think Josh Norman is the best corner in the league, but he was the absolute best corner for that system. I mean, they've already gotten rid of a cornerback because he was awful in that system. They don't have a running game. Cam Newton can't be the leading rusher and the quarterback of the team. So I don't think they have a good chance. They just don't have a good chance. I don't see it.
Yeah, if you look at the Panthers, Keith, their upcoming schedule, they got the Saints, which the Saints can put up points. They don't have defense, but they can put up points. You got the Cardinals, so that's a tough game. Then you got to go and play a good Raiders team, which has proven to be rather a handful, and that game is in Oakland. Then you got to play the Seahawks. Then you got to play the Chargers. We've seen that they're a better team than what they started with. And then you got to go to the Falcons. That'll be a huge game. And so, I mean, they don't have necessarily the most difficult schedule, but they got some roadblocks for sure that I don't think that they're going to overcome. And if they they need to make a run, so if they lose, you know, four of those games that I mentioned, I really don't think that 8-8 is going to cut it.
No, if they could even be 8-8,
right?
Like, right, they're not going to make the playoffs with a losing record. That's for sure. And they have a lot of work to do if they want to make the playoffs. And I don't think at this point in the season they can make up enough to be able to make it to the playoffs.
Yep, I agree. All right, Keith, so that wraps up our segment there. Let's take another break. When we come back, we will hit the What's on Tap for this weekend and preview some of the games on the NFL slate, and see what else might be coming up this weekend. A little bit more going on now that we're getting into the winter months here in sports. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about that all on the other side of the break. You're listening to Crossing the Line on Elevation52ASports.com and Last Word on Sports.com. We're back on Elevation52ASports.com and Last Word on Sports.com. You're listening to Crossing the Line with Jesse and Keith. And Keith, time for the What's on Tap section. Is there anything this weekend that's catching your eye?
I'm all football this time of year.
A little baseball.
There's a little baseball. We got the playoffs. The LCSs are going to be starting this weekend. But back to football. So, we talked about it a little bit earlier, this past segment, actually. You got the Falcons going up against the Seahawks, which really is going to be the first true test for the season for the Seahawks, I think. And then, like you're saying, if the Falcons can pull it off, they might be, you might want to consider them a contender.
They really put the stranglehold, at least on the division.
Yeah, I think if they win this game, they pretty much have the division on lock. But the Seahawks also, though, they, before they went into their bye week, were finally looking like they're knowing how to use Jimmy Graham. That's only going to get better with Russell Wilson getting healthier, which he had a bye week to get healthier. So it'll be a good game, I think, for sure.
Yeah. I like that game. Looking at a couple other games here that look interesting, Philadelphia, Washington, I think it's an interesting game. Philadelphia had their first loss last week, obviously. And Washington, has been like this roller coaster ride. You don't know what you're going to get. And I don't know. What's your take on this game?
Maybe. I mean, Carson Wentz looks like he did come back down to earth a little bit in the last game against
I think he needed that.
He needed it. So it'll be telling what he does coming off of that, whether he is going to help him improve or if he's going to go into a free fall. The Redskins defense is better than the Lions defense, that is for sure. So he's going to get a tougher test than he did last week. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds. And it'll be interesting to see if Kirk Cousins can keep playing better.
No doubt there. We talked about the Saints and Carolina, both teams with only one win on the season so far. That essentially the loser of that game is eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, you can pretty much say that. So. And even a winner still might be eliminated from the playoffs.
Exactly. But definitely if a team goes 1-5, you're not making the playoffs there.
Speaking of dumpster fires, you got the Colts versus the Texans.
On the Sunday night game.
Which, with a little bit of help from the Browns, if the Browns beat the Titans and the Colts beat the Texans, as awful as the Colts have looked, they would be in a great position to win the division.
Just crazy.
Which is just sad.
That's why I hate football sometimes.
They have looked terrible. But so has everyone else in their division as well. So, I mean, it's still a lot of season to go, but they put themselves kind of front runners at that point,
Keith,
I would think.
They are the only division that every team has a negative point differential.
Even the first place team. The sad thing is the Texans have a higher point differential at 3-2 than the Titans do at 2-3.
I don't know. I don't even know what to think anymore. It's just crazy. And also looking at the points for the lowest scoring division on points for. So yeah.
It's not like teams are putting up 60 against them. But they can't score 4 points sometimes.
So you got that game as the Sunday night game. And then moving over to I think a big game for your Cowboys, Keith, is the game against Green Bay.
Absolutely. I don't even necessarily think it needs to be a game that they need to win. I would love for them to win that game. But if they lose, let's say, 23-20, and Dak still doesn't have a turnover, then considering how badly they got beat by the Packers last year, I mean, there's no such thing as a moral victory, but you have to look at it as a positive still. It definitely makes it harder to say, well, we need to have Tony Romo back in because they didn't get blown out. They lost by 3.
Yep. Then you get the Monday night game, Keith, with just the Jets and the Arizona Cardinals. I think we're all really confused on what Arizona is or isn't at this point. If you can't get corrected against the Jets, I think Arizona is probably out of the contender conversation for sure if they can't beat the Jets on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it a bunch of times already this year on Sunday morning lines. On paper, they should easily win this game, but they've looked great on paper all season, and then they get on the field and they look terrible. So you would think they win this game, but they're going to be playing a very, very desperate Jets team. So you don't know what could happen in that game.
Yeah, and Eric Decker put on IR, Keith.
Yep. So they're receiving. I mean, I guess they did have a great receiving core with Decker, Marshall, and I can't pronounce his last name, but number 81.
Yes.
but then you take him out of being the number 3 and make him number 2. That could change a lot for him. That's how great he's looked so far.
Yep. Anything else on the weekend slate for you, Keith?
I talked about Bama last week. They did better than I thought they were going to do against probably the toughest team they played all year. But again, they played the toughest team again that they played all year as they go up against number 9 Tennessee. They proved a lot to me this past weekend. They played great when I thought they had an opportunity to possibly stumble. I think they'll play great again, but Tennessee is a great team this year. So another one where you don't know what could happen.
Yep. Yeah, college football is fun to watch because you really have no idea what's going to happen.
I mean, you might have an opportunity to where you get an extra down that you shouldn't have gotten and beat a team on a Hail Mary lateral.
Who knows? It could happen. yeah, so that's a good one to look forward to. We haven't talked a lot about college football, Keith, so maybe real quick here, where do you think things are going to end up here for the four championship contenders?
I honestly don't think you're going to have an undefeated team.
It doesn't
going
seem
into the championship. Like, I feel like Alabama is going to lose one.
This is not the Alabama that people are used to.
No, they're not. I mean, they're blowing out D2 schools, which they should. But when they're playing tougher competition, they're not blowing them out like we've seen in the past. So they do have an opportunity to lose one, maybe even two, because the SEC is still tough.
Yep.
Clemson
looks really good.
Clemson looks really good. Honestly, I think the best team that I've seen so far this year, call me crazy, is Washington. They obliterated Stanford. They obliterated Oregon. Their schedule only gets easier as the season goes on. If there is going to be an undefeated team going into the CBF playoffs, it would be them, but I think even they might lose one. So it makes it interesting for sure, picking the four teams, especially if you have four conference champions, five, six conference champions with one loss each, because then you're getting picky on saying which conference is tougher. It makes it interesting to see as a fan, but it sucks in the sense that if that happens where you have four one-loss teams, then it makes a stronger case than they need to expand the playoffs.
Yep. I think that the OSU-Wisconsin game will be a big one. I think what I like about this playoff system, I do think that it needs to be expanded, but I do like how they have more control over the teams that get in, and it's not just based off of a coach's poll.
Yeah.
I do like that better. I think that there's less likely to be true snubs.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I think the committee is a definite way to go.
Yeah.
And then this week is the big week, because I think this is a week in which after this week is when they release the rankings per how they are ranking them to be in the playoffs. So it's starting to be put up or shut up time.
Yep. Anything else on the list for you, Keith?
Not really. I might watch some preseason NBA, just because the season.
Watch LeBron James eat some popcorn and
watch Kevin Durant eat some nachos. but I might watch a little bit of it just because. But outside of that, not to really. Kid's birthday is today, so we have the family coming over tomorrow.
There you go.
So we'll see.
Happy birthday to Samar. And the big thing for me over the weekend, Keith, is the start of the Colorado Avalanche season. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but that obviously is a must-watch if you're an Avalanche fan, opening day for the season. So, good stuff there, Keith. A lot to look forward to this weekend. Busy weekend. It'll be over before you know it, unfortunately. That's how these things work as you get older, I guess.
It sure does.
So, great. So, to remind everybody, you can tweet Keith and I after the show, @5280Keith. @5280Jesse, and then you can check out the show also on the Elevation 5280 Sports Audio Vault section on LastWordOnSports.com radio, over on Podbean and iTunes, and pretty much anywhere you can find good quality sports talk radio shows, Keith.
Yep, we are a lot of places now, so I hope you're getting used to hearing us everywhere.
Also, too, special news, we are helping out Mike and Sy from Gridiron Intel this weekend. We'll be taking over responsibility for Gridiron Intel. Probably a mistake on Mike's part, but I'm happy to have us have us be part of that show.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but we were pretty good on our sleepers and bus.
We were pretty good. We were pretty good there. And we'll be joined by our Vegas insider, Will Boer, of course. I'm sure we'll have some really bad fantasy advice, some really good fantasy advice. Mostly from you and I, but no, it would be great. So if you enjoy fantasy sports, you don't normally hear us on Sunday mornings outside of Sunday Morning Lines, so check that out. I think that's it, Keith. Let's everyone enjoy the games this week, and we will talk to you all next weekend. Later.